Do you ever feel kind of stuck when you try to make a change? Like you set these big goals, you get all fired up, but then poof, the motivation just fizzles out. And those new habits, they just don't stick.
Oh, yeah. That's a really common feeling, isn't it? We
Wow.
aim for the big win, but the day-to-day stuff just doesn't quite get us there.
Exactly. And that's really why we're doing this deep dive. We're getting into Atomic Habits by James Clear. It's this guy that honestly has a surprisingly simple but like really powerful take on that exact problem.
Right. And our mission today really is to pull out the core ideas from the book, not just listing them, but seeing how they connect. And, the important part, how you can actually use these ideas, use them to build better habits, maybe ditch some of the bad ones. The whole point is changing your life, but not through some massive overnight upheaval. It's about getting like 1% better every single day.
Okay, let's dive in then. One of the first kind of big shifts Clear talks about is, well, getting us to stop focusing so much on goals and focusing instead on systems, which feels a bit weird at first, right? We're so conditioned to be goal-oriented.
Right. Goals are good for direction. Yeah. They
Yep.
point you somewhere. But the book argues pretty convincingly, I think, that they aren't really the engine. They're not what keeps you moving consistently. I mean, achieving a goal is just a moment. You finish writing the book, you run the marathon, whatever it is. Then what? What happens after you cross that line?
Yeah, there's often that big drop-off, isn't there? Unless something deeper has actually changed.
Precisely. Clear argues that long-term progress, real improvement, that comes from your system. Your system is like the collection of all those daily habits, the things that move you forward almost automatically without needing a specific finish line in sight. It's the process itself, not just the single event.
And that leads right into that quote everyone knows now. Just nails this idea, doesn't it? You don't rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your systems.
And what's so interesting about that is how it flips our whole perspective. We're always chasing the goal, right? But the book's basically saying, look, real success isn't about hitting that one target. It's about building and, crucially, maintaining a really solid system, one that makes reaching any target almost, well, inevitable over time.
Okay, so if the system is the secret sauce, how do you actually start building a better one? Clear has this interesting idea that we shouldn't start by thinking about what we want to achieve, but who we want to become. It's all about identity.
Yeah, and this goes way deeper than just, changing a behavior here or there. The book suggests that your habits are basically just evidence of your identity. So every time you make your bed, you're kind of embodying the identity of someone who's tidy. Every time you hit the gym, you're casting a vote for being an athletic person.
Casting a vote. I remember that bit from the book. It's like you're building up proof little by little for the person you want to be. So it's not just saying, oh, I want to be a reader. It's reading one page. That action proves to yourself, okay, yeah, I'm a reader.
Exactly right. This whole identity-based approach flips the script. So instead of thinking, I want to quit smoking, which is focused on the outcome, you shift it to, I am not a smoker, that's identity. Or instead of, I want to read more books, you become, I am a reader. Again, focusing on who you are.
And then once you start seeing yourself that way, the actions kind of follow more naturally, right? If you genuinely see yourself as a reader, picking up a book doesn't feel like this big effort or chore. It's just what readers do. It becomes this like positive feedback loop. Your identity shapes your habits, and the habits reinforce the identity.
Understanding why we do what we do is so key. And Clear gives us this really simple framework for understanding the structure behind every single habit. It's a four-step loop, really straightforward.
The habit loop. Okay, walk us through it.
Right. So it starts with the cue. That's the trigger, the signal that basically tells your brain, okay, time to start this behavior. Could be anything, really. Seeing your phone, walking into the kitchen
Yeah.
a certain time of day.
Got it. The trigger. So what's next?
Next comes the craving. This is the motivation, the drive. It's not the habit itself you crave, it's the state or the feeling the habit delivers. That's the key insight. So you see your phone, that's the cue. But the craving isn't for the phone, it's for that feeling of being connected or maybe entertained or avoiding boredom.
Okay, so it's the feeling or maybe the anticipation of the reward that you're actually after.
Precisely. And that craving leads directly to the response. That's the actual habit itself, the action you take, picking up the phone, unlocking it, opening an app, scrolling.
The action makes sense.
Which brings us to the final step, the reward. This is what it's all about, the end goal of the habit. It's the satisfaction, the relief, the little hit of pleasure you get. It satisfies the craving. So checking your phone response gives you that little dopamine hit from seeing new messages or notifications, reward, and boom, the craving for connection or novelty is met. For a moment, anyway.
Cue craving response reward. Okay. And Clear's whole approach, the genius of it really, is showing us how to deliberately tinker with each of those steps, how to use them to build the good habits, and just importantly, break the bad ones. Like making the cues for good habits super obvious, right? Like putting your running shoes right by the door, or making the response really easy, like that 2-minute rule thing.
Absolutely. He lays out really concrete strategies for every single step. Make the cue obvious. Mm-hmm. Make the craving attractive, maybe. Pair it with something you already like doing. That's temptation bundling. Make the response easy.
Yeah, like reducing friction or starting with that tiny 2-minute version, and then make the reward satisfying. Even just tracking your progress can be satisfying. Gives you that immediate visual proof of your new identity building up.
That 2-minute rule, it's just brilliant because it's so simple. You want to read more. Just commit, literally, to reading for 2 minutes. One exercise, just put your workout clothes on. It just lowers that barrier to starting so much that it feels kind of ridiculous to say no. Exactly. It makes a response easy. And that ease, when you repeat it consistently day after day, that's how those tiny changes start to snowball.
Which brings us nicely to maybe the most eye-opening idea in the whole book, that 1% rule, the power of compound growth. Mm-hmm. We always think we need these huge, dramatic changes to see real results, but the math Clear presents is, well, it's kind of startling.
It really is. He shows mathematically that if you improve just 1%, just one tiny percent at something every single day for a year, you don't just end up 365% better, which is what you might intuitively think. No, you end up, wait for it, 37 times better by the end of that year.
37 times?
Yeah.
Just from a 1% daily improvement. That feels almost too good to be true. But it's just compounding, isn't it? Like compound interest, but for like self-improvement?
Exactly that. It's the same principle. Those tiny, almost invisible gains stack up day after day, and over time, they create this huge exponential growth. And this is where that idea of consistency beating intensity really hits home. You know, one massive workout won't do nearly as much as just showing up consistently, even for a shorter time, every single day. Think about that British cycling team example he uses. They didn't make one giant change. They found dozens of tiny things they could improve, but just 1%, and the result? Olympic gold medals, lots of them.
Yeah, that story is such a perfect illustration. The aggregate of marginal gains, they called it. But okay, even making that 1% change daily, sometimes that feels like it takes a lot of willpower, right? Yeah. And Clear has a pretty strong opinion on relying too much on willpower, doesn't he?
He really does. He basically argues willpower is, well, it's overrated. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely finite. We only have so much of it each day. The book makes a strong case that you're much, much better off designing your environment. Setting things up so that good habits are easy, maybe even unavoidable, and bad habits are difficult. It's way more reliable than just gritting your teeth and trying to power through temptation.
Right. So instead of staring down that packet of biscuits in the cupboard, trying to resist with all your mental might,
you just don't buy the biscuits in the first place. Or you put them somewhere really inconvenient. You make the unhealthy choice harder. Or, on the flip side, if you want to practice guitar more often, don't hide it away in its case in the closet. Put the guitar on a stand right there in the middle of your living room. Make the cue super obvious. Make the response picking it up easy.
Make the good choice the path of least resistance. That seems to be the core secret Clear keeps coming back to. It's about designing your world so that doing the right thing feels almost effortless. Needs minimal willpower.
Exactly. It shifts the focus from this internal battle inside your head to managing your external surroundings. You're not relying on being strong in the moment of temptation. You're setting yourself up for success before that moment even arrives.
Okay, wow. We've covered a fair bit from Atomic Habits here. We talked about systems over goals, about building identity through those small wins, the mechanics of that habit loop cue, craving, response, reward, and how to play with it, plus the incredible power of that 1% compounding effect. And finally, how designing your environment is often way better than just relying on willpower.
Yeah, and bringing all those threads together, I think the central message of this deep dive really boils down to this. Profound change, real transformation, it doesn't usually come from those huge revolutionary moments.
No, it comes from evolution, right? Driven by those tiny, consistent atomic habits. It's less about being perfect and way more about just being persistent, showing up.
And the really encouraging part, I think, is what Clear suggests about starting. You can start incredibly small, like almost laughably small. Pick one habit, just one. and commit to doing it for literally 2 minutes a day. Read one page, 2 minutes. Meditate for 2 minutes. Write one sentence, 2 minutes. That tiny action, it does everything we talked about. It casts a vote for your new identity. It runs through the habit loop. You can set up your environment to make it easy, and it kicks off that compounding process.
Just 2 minutes. Yeah, that feels genuinely doable for anyone listening right now.
Big things happen, as Clear puts it, when you stop trying to achieve perfection overnight. And instead, you just focus all your energy on being just that little bit better, that 1% better today. Focus on your system, reinforce who you want to become, understand the loop, set up your space, and just trust that compounding is doing its magic in the background.
So maybe here's something for you, the listener, to think about as you go about the rest of your day. What's one tiny, almost invisible change you could make today? Something that casts a vote for the person you aspire to be. Something that just nudges you onto that path of being 1% better.
Yeah, just mull that over. What's that one tiny action?
And definitely get ready, because next time on The Deep Dive, we're going to be exploring another source that gets into daily practices and routines with some pretty big promises, the 5 a.m. Club.
Mm-hmm. Diving into that whole world of super early rising and morning rituals should be interesting.
So stay curious. Stay building.